everybody.
We have an expression, don't we? And we have an expression that says, oh, it's just like banging your head against a wall. Or where I come from, banging your head against a brick wall. Don't we? It expresses trying to get somewhere and you're just not getting anywhere. You know, and it's not only you're not achieving what you wanted to achieve, you're not getting where you want to get, so to speak, but in actual fact, in the trying, it's causing grief and pain and upset, banging your head against a brick wall. Well, does that describe you and me this morning? Do we feel like we are banging our heads against a brick wall? Ever felt you were fighting situations in your life in order to get some sense of peace? Trying to bend life to your will and your wants. Do you want peace in your life at this moment? There are times in our life where we're up for the fight, aren't we? But other times we are just weary and anything but. And life is very much like trying to bang your head against a brick wall. Do you want rest from having to fight situations and things to make life work for you? Because, you know, we have a word, don't we? That expresses fighting of things and situations. And we call it striving, don't we? And I'm talking to you as a believing Christian, as well as if you don't have a faith. Do you find your life at the moment is full of striving to get to a place of peace? And you wish it were different? That the striving would just end and you could rest and be, just be. Well, if that is you this morning, let's see if God's word has an answer to this striving. We're in the early parts of the Bible, and we're looking again at Abraham, continuing to look at him. And Abraham, in our passage, has just come back from rescuing his relative, Lot. Lot was taken to the east by some eastern kings, and Lot was taken with them, captured by these kings, along with lots of other loot and other people's prisoners. And lo and behold, Abraham decided to do something about it, and he went with some fighting men, defeated those kings, brought back his relative Lot, brought them back to what was to be the promised land, the bottom right-hand corner, if you like, down near the Dead Sea. So, all's well. God comes to Abraham in our passage and speaks to him. In verse 1 it says this, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision." And this is very significant, because what Scripture is telling us here is confirming to us that Abraham is now a prophet. The word of the Lord came, as it does to a prophet, in a vision, as it does to a prophet. And we've learned that Abraham is a prophet. We didn't realize that at the beginning when we were looking at Abraham's life, but now we know it. Abraham is a prophet. And God's opening words to Abraham are a statement with three powerful clauses in it. Because God says this, he says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." So the first thing God says to Abraham is about not being afraid. Now it would appear, we're not told why, but it would appear that fear was growing for Abraham in his life. As I say, we're not told what was the cause of it. We could probably speculate, but why bother? We just know that Abraham was afraid. The second thing that God says to Abraham is about protection. "I am your shield." That implies a level of protection that is quite significant. It's protection in acute danger, i.e. a shield in battle. God says, "I'm going to be your protector in the greatest or most critical of dangers." And the third thing God says is about rewarding Abraham. God says, "I am the one who greatly rewards you." Well, let's look at that last one. At the moment, it would appear that Abraham has only one reward on his mind at this time: children and a male heir. And he reminds God that God has not rewarded him yet with children. So in verse 2 he says, but "Abraham said, 'Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abraham said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.'" Because Abraham hadn't yet received the promise of God of an heir, Abraham had made the necessary arrangements to appoint an heir. That was the standard practice in that culture in those days. Somebody who's not flesh and blood of Abraham and Sarah. So that's what Abraham says to God. You know, just matter of fact, I've just had to appoint an heir. And then in verse 4, God's reply is recorded. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.'" And that famous illustration that we get, God is basically saying, "Abraham, you're going to have so many descendants. It's going to be like the night sky. They're going to be uncountable, just like the stars in the sky." And here's the key point. We read about it in verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, what the Lord said to him about his own flesh and blood heir, the stars in the sky. We read that Abraham believed God about what God said he would do. And because of this belief, God saw Abraham as being in a right relationship with himself, i.e. righteous. So let's read that verse 6. "Abraham believed the Lord, and he," i.e. the Lord, "credited it to him as righteousness." Credited it to him as righteousness. The words "credited it" are the words in Hebrew for "reckoned it" or "considered it." So we could perhaps paraphrase the statement further and say, God considered Abraham righteous or right with himself because Abraham believed or put his trust in and submitted to the promise of God. What Abraham did was he accepted quietly and in obedience God's plan for him. It was It was sort of submission to an acceptance of God's plans for him that placed him in a right relationship with God. So folks, this wasn't just any general belief in God. You know, we have expressions, don't we, say, do you believe in God? This is not what is being said here. Abraham believed in God. That was never in doubt. And that's not the issue. He believed that God existed and was alive. No problem. Now, this belief and submission and trust and acceptance was something far more specific than that. It was belief in God's plans for him. It was acceptance and quiet submission to God's plans for him. It was belief and acceptance of what God said he was going to do for Abraham that put Abraham into a right relationship with God. You see, God had promised a number of things to Abraham. We read, you know, from this morning's passage that God was going to be the ultimate protector or extreme protector, i.e. the shield stuff for Abraham. God was going to be a great rewarder of Abraham. And an earlier promise of what God said he was going to do was he was going to give to Abraham an heir of his own flesh and blood and a promised land. And in response, quite simply, Abraham believed in, trusted in, and submitted to God's plans and promises, and trusted in God's ability to act in his life. Verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now in 500 years time from Abraham's era, Israel was going to have the law, the Mosaic law given to Moses and Joshua and all the nation of Israel. But that's 500 years in the future. And righteousness for the Israelite was very much linked to living a good life and keeping the commands of the law. In Ezekiel 18 verse 9, it says, he follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. So we're going to be discovering, if we ever get that far, that 500 years in the future, righteousness is going to be, or being right with God, is going to be achieved by keeping and following the tenets of the law. The Mosaic law. But we ain't 500 years in the future. We're here now with Abraham. And here being right with God is expressed as trusting in or believing in God's promise. Nothing to do with the law of God. That was still 500 years off in the future. And the Apostle Paul in our New Testament picks up on this trusting in God's plan or promise. In Romans verse 4, Paul says in verse 3 that Abraham's belief was believing in what God said he would do, not believing in God's existence, etc. So we read in Romans 4 verses 3 to 5 that Paul says Abraham believed God, not believed in God. Okay? So So Paul says in Romans 4 verse 3, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And in Galatians 3 verse 18, Paul says a little bit more about it. He says, for if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. So Paul is saying Abraham is credited as righteousness, as being right with God, because he believed in what God said he was going to do in Abraham's life. Not belief in God, it was in what God was going to do. He was going to give him an heir. He was going to give him a promised land. He was going to give him a nation. In the following Romans 4 passage, Paul does use the words believe in God, but again, it's believing in what God said, believing in what God did, said and did, fulfilling a promise in raising Jesus from the dead. In Romans 4 verse 22, it reads, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. The psalmist in Psalm 16 verse 10 picks up on that resurrection of Jesus, where it says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Not just belief in who God is, it's actually belief in what God will do, his plans and his promises. And as these verses from Romans and Galatians express, the Christian believer submits to and trusts in God's plan and action and promise for getting right with God, i.e. the plan of the Christian gospel, righteousness by faith and belief and trust in the finished works of Jesus. And theologians tell us that this way of expressing getting right with God through focusing on trusting in God's plan or promise is unique in Scripture. This passage about Abraham and Paul quoting it, it's quite a unique way of expressing how to get right with God. Plans and promises. Well, what about me and you? What are we to take from this different way of expressing how one gets right with God and conducts a right relationship with God? A rightness with God that is based on trusting in and having confidence in God's plans and promises that, of course, are found ultimately in Jesus Christ. Let me ask us this. Are we prepared to submit to, accept and trust in God's plans for us? Let me ask you this, back to what we began with. Are you sensing you are striving in your life to get to a place of peace? Could God be saying to you, the answer to your striving is to submit to and accept the path God has planned for you? Because Christian, God does have plans for you. And those plans for you, as they were for Abraham are for goodness. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11 it says, God speaking, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Let me ask the question again, therefore. Could God be saying to you and to me that the answer to our striving is to submit to and accept the path God has planned, use another word, ordained for you? Are we prepared to accept what God has for us and what He has chosen for us in our life? Or, in a sense, are we going to be like that guy there? Are we going to fight those plans? Are we going to try and resist? Because believe me, that's a hopeless task. It's like banging your head against a brick wall. You're going to get nowhere. We're going to get nowhere. Are we prepared to accept what God has planned for us in our life? And for you, me this morning, is acceptance of God's providential plan for our life the way to peace and being right with God? Is that the way ahead for us in our life circumstances at the moment? Let me put it another way. Does the word acceptance in your Christian faith have meaning for you this morning? Abraham accepted God's plan for him. He got to a place of peace for God's plan for him. And that could equally apply to me and you. Are we prepared to accept God's plan for our lives? He is in control of our lives. He orders our lives as Christians. And He has good plans for you and me. To bless us. To be kind to us. To prosper us. To give us a hope and a future. Acceptance, is that a word that we can take away this morning and to see whether that is a word from God for us? Let me pray.